Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
In the heat of battle on this week's episode of the Super Chevy Brothers podcast, the matriarch abandons her sons as they wage war for dominance over the airwaves. The demise of Akira Toriyama reverberates through the ranks of Dragon Ball aficionados worldwide, plunging them into a state of turmoil. Meanwhile, Xbox unleashes a showcase designed to leave you shell-shocked. Brace yourselves for the onslaught as the Super Chevy Brothers podcast commences.
All right, welcome back to the Super Chevy Brothers podcast. This is episode 130. That's right, we've been doing this show for 10 years. Who would have thought?
That's not even true.
It's halfway true. Mostly true.
It's not 10 years.
When did we start?
We started in like 2016.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
That's almost 10 years.
No, it's not. It's like a couple years away. You know, you can look at the first episode of your podcast, like when it was published, right?
Listen, the difference between 8 and 10 is 2. And I think that's a small enough margin to say 10 years. 10 years, 130.
That's what everybody does these days. Get close enough, doesn't even matter. Who cares anymore?
That's the world we live in now. That's the world we live in.
Well, yeah, because you got people like you, yeah.
I'm not the one who decided Mike Tyson was going to fight Logan Paul, okay? That was the rest of society, all right?
The fact you even know about that is the problem with society.
Okay, let me tell you this.
Jake Paul or Logan Paul, whichever the fuck one it is, fell off my radar. Both of them fell off my radar like at least 3 years ago. I don't know what they're doing anymore.
You don't even have to, they have beyond, they are the radar. So Jake Paul is fighting.
Not true.
Tyson. That's not true.
Dude, I follow people who cover, like, I'm a journalist. I follow people who cover boxing and wrestling. I have not seen them mention the Paul brothers in like at least a year. Like, Viners should not be paid anything. They should all be homeless. I want all Viners to go away. You don't need money. You don't deserve it.
Oh, you really hate small business owners, huh? Okay, I see. Well, anyway.
Yeah, if they're Logan and Jake Paul, yeah, I hate the shit out of them, yeah.
You know, what's happened to the white man these days? I just think it's not fair. Look, Jake Paul's fighting Mike Tyson on Netflix in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. It's going to be a show, I guess. People are going to watch. That's going to make a lot of money. It's Netflix, so they've already probably paid like a few million for it, right? And then it's at AT&T Stadium, which is like, I mean, if you want to watch it on TV, they got one in there. It's the whole big thing, the TV. So,
what's the dude who can't read, the boxer that can't read? Why didn't Mike Tyson fight him?
Mike Tyson doesn't fight anyone. What do you mean? He's only.
That's what I mean. Oh no! Sure, I know. He's retired. Duh! I'm not fucking stupid. He's coming out of retirement to fight this child. Hold on. One second. Okay, anyway, he already came out of retirement, right?
Kind of.
People were asking him to fight, who's the dude who can't read? What's his name? You know his name.
I don't know. Is that his defining character?
He's the undefeated, that's all I remember about him because of the meme of...
Oh, Mayweather?
Saying, I want you to read a Harry Potter book, nigga. Yeah, exactly. Mayweather.
Okay, look, listen.
Yeah, why did he never fight Mayweather? That was the thing people actually wanted.
I think that's pretty disrespectful. Okay, maybe Mayweather cannot read, but he's very successful.
I can say whatever I want. He's rich as hell. Who cares? He doesn't care.
So because he's rich, you can just disrespect the man.
That's what he would say. He just okay, dude. If Floyd Mayweather had heard me say that, he would just laugh at me and call me broke. Like I don't think he cares. So whatever. Who cares? He wouldn't care. He wouldn't give a shit.
I mean, he did have a successful boxing career.
Yeah, he doesn't. So yeah, let me say whatever I want. He doesn't care. He's not gonna care. But anyway, yeah, Mayweather. That would have been a much more interesting fight. Like you know, of course, like 10 years ago.
Against, but why would anyone want to fight? Have Mayweather fight Tyson, a retired boxer? The only reason there's appeal because, to this is because the Jake Paul, Jake Logan, Logan Paul. What do they call Jake Paul? Jake Paul.
Yeah, Logan Paul. So wait, he went from wrestling to
no. Logan Paul still wrestles. It's Jake.
Oh,
Paul,
this is the other brother. One. Oh, the other this. Oh, good. I hope this one gets his brain rocked enough. Then, yeah, no. Yeah, I don't get it. I'll just put it that way. I don't get it. I don't get how he positioned himself this way to be one of the most looked after boxers. I remember. One of the last times I ever listened to Joe Budden podcast, one of the guys I thought on there was an idiot. Said, you know, we got to look out for that Jake Paul boy. I don't know where he came from, but he's something special.
Well, I mean,
so
there
you go.
I think the reason it's successful, of course, they got fans or whatever, but also it brings spectacle back to boxing because boxing kind of doesn't have the spectacle anymore. The personalities in boxing are just like so lame. And they make boxing what boxing used to be. Like these guys, you know, nobody cares about boxing anymore at this point. As far, I mean, people do, people watch, but it's not like what it was in the 90s or in the 80s. Like it's just not, boxing is just not this thing. And then the Pauls, the Pauls, I guess, they've got this fan base. They set up their own events for people to watch, and then they actually I wouldn't say they're like great boxers, but they actually go out there and box against actual athletes, even if they're retired or, you know, from a different sport or something. It's not like they're just picking up bozos off the street. They're other athletes, and, you know, it is an appeal. I mean, it's the most money boxing is making in the past 5 years, so...
money's the bottom line. From a distance it's corny as fuck. That's all I gotta say. It's very corny. I understand. Yeah. Everybody's around it still making money, so I'm glad they're happy about it. But like
it looks
very corny. Yeah.
It's corny, but the authentic stuff isn't getting any. I only bring up the money because of the.
Exactly. It's about going viral. It's
no,
exactly.
No, no, no. I only bring up the money, not as the money itself, but as what that means. It means it's gas traction. People are paying money. I'm not talking about people getting money. I'm talking about people are wanting to see that kind of entertainment.
Yeah,
it's
spectacle. Yeah, I understand. It's corny. I wish it wasn't like this. There you go.
I get what you're saying, but it's kind of like grass is greener.
You know? I just said I don't agree. I think it's corny.
I mean, it's fine. You don't watch the other boxing either.
Let's put it this way. I can't wait until this era, quote unquote, is over, so I don't have to ever hear about another Paul brother, unless one gets his head rocked and you know Million-dollar babied? Yeah, no. So,
dang, dog. Why you hate these guys so much?
They're scumbags, dude. They are. They're just scumbags. I don't care. Like, the less I hear about them, the happier I am.
I mean, I don't know if I call them scumbags. I think they're not very
personable. Do you remember what Logan did? Or are we just, like, forgetting that?
Yeah, that is pretty bad. But as far as like when I think of all the bad stuff rich people do, I'm not.
Okay. Of course, other thing bad. So that not as
no,
bad.
No. That's not what I'm saying. But I reserve my.
That's
judgment
literally
for,
what you just said.
I reserve my judgment for bigger issues. That's all.
Yes, Shavar, you're boiling this down to we have different opinions on this. I agree. I think. You're fine with the Paul brothers. You want to let them rock like you do with most people. And I don't like them like I do with most people.
I'm an American, so I'm all about that freedom and opportunity. Well, whatever happens there, gonna be a thing. Will. Been playing Helldivers. I've played more than you. It is the hot new game. Why'd you say it like that? Why'd you say okay?
Now, I don't know why you said that.
Well, I was just saying, I've played it a few more hours than you have.
That's not what you said before, but continue.
I said I've played more than you.
I've played it more than you. But like, why make that comment? Anyway, continue. Say whatever you're saying.
Oh, I just meant, I meant that as a qualifier for why I'm...
That you should talk more. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, I've played the game some amount more than you. Okay? It's the hot new game. It's good. It's fun. I don't think it's as culture changing as people are trying to make it out to be. If you go on YouTube, everyone's like, this is the AAA killer or something, like, you know how YouTube can be. But have you played since the update came out this morning or yesterday? Nope. Last night? I don't know.
No, I've been working and doing other things, like losing 0-3 in World Combat Tournament. So, no, I have not played Helldivers.
Well, people are not happy. So, they made some balance changes. And people weren't happy about that. And I think it's only been like 12 hours. And now they've already said they're going to do another balance patch because the guns... They weakened. Some of them got stronger. Like your shotgun you like to use, it's better, I guess. But the most powerful weapon, railgun, nerfed. Breaker shotgun, which is what I use, nerfed. And people were upset because the game is still really hard, but now the weapons are weaker. And I haven't played the higher difficulties yet, but apparently in the higher difficulties, they like your stratagems in the game are kind of like your extra weapons and artillery you bring in, right? Apparently in later difficulties, some of those just don't work or they get broken or you have a jammer where you can't call in any stratagems for the whole map. And so you still have to fight everything without that stuff. And so they reversed that decision. Well, not reversed, but they're going to do another balance patch to make the enemies less. So you're not just running away from charges the entire time you're playing. And I guess that moves us into the news, too, because we have some Helldivers news. I don't know if you can tell, but Mom's not here, so no movie review.
Yeah, I could tell. Movie review. I thought Shavar said he was gonna do one, or Mom says she's gonna record one. Neither one happened. It's okay though. It's we got plenty of stuff to talk about. I want to slip this in here real quick. I know this. We have another. Well, actually, no. I think I know what you're gonna do for number one.
Well, we're already talking about Helldivers, so.
Oh, you're talking about Helldivers. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about, the news that we just got, like an hour ago.
We can do that after Helldivers. I mean, we're already talking about Helldivers, so might as well knock it all out.
Okay. Helldivers. Well, Helldivers is getting a season 2, because every game need seasons to keep their players interested, to
keep these live service games, right?
Yes, these goddamn live service games.
And we love them. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah, we love them. I have some words about live service games. We'll talk about that later. Helldivers 2 is, yes, it is a live service game. It was, the first one was good enough that it got a sequel, and guess what? That one was also kind of a live service game, just with less battle passy stuff and less microtransactions. Season 2 is launching with a few different additions. I don't think the mechs are coming quite yet, but we're getting a lot of new guns. There's new loadouts. New loadout potential is what this says. I don't know why it's not telling me what this is. So there's like an electric gun. There is the prototype 16.
Which just is an update on the mechs. The mechs are technically ready, but okay. So the way the game works, because it's a live service game and the theme is, war or whatever. In order to unlock the mechs as a community, we have to liberate one of the planets. And if you have to liberate the planet because the mechs are made there. And as long as the planet's liberated, mechs will have access to it. So before the mechs are released in the game, as a group, the community has to liberate Tien Quan, I think is the name of the planet. So technically like already there.
Helldivers is... Helldivers actually... Okay, so here's the thing about Helldivers being a live service game. They actually do the live service part where things are always happening. Not just expecting players to play missions over and over, right? Which is cool. So, So we're getting a few different weapons in this pack. There's also another bigger update coming. So Season 2 starts March 14th with new maps, new stuff to do, I'm sure, new planets to liberate. Dagger pistol and a stun grenade and a laser gun and a plasma shotgun of my favorite shotgun already. So yeah, I'm ready to play it. This game is fun. I think that this game is actually like, this is what a live service game should be like, and this is not what WB thinks that they are. So yeah, this game is good. I like this game a lot. It's got a lot to do that doesn't require you to use microtransactions, but if you want to make your guy look cool, you can get the microtransactions. So yeah, it's a I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I mean, even the micro, you don't, I have enough credits to buy the war bond. So in the game, you can pay money and get, the way you unlock things in the game is through war bonds, like in wars, right? But if essentially a war bond is a series of pages, on the pages, you use medals that you get from completing missions to unlock helmets and emotes, guns, whatever. That's essentially your basic progression through the game as far as like your character. And then there's a special war, what are they called, premium war bonds or whatever. Those war bonds are the season passes or seasonal
it's the content. Fortnite battle pass. Yeah, it's a battle pass,
right? It's a battle pass, but you can either buy it with money, and I think they're about $10, or if you play the game, you can find what's called super credits. It takes 1,000 of those to buy a premium war bond. So you can unlock everything just by playing. I think I have like 800 something credits or whatever. So it's very doable. If you're playing regularly, you will be able to unlock it. Yeah.
Which is cool. That's how, it's easy enough to unlock the stuff, right? So yeah, I'm looking forward to Helldivers in the future. It's panning out to be pretty good so far. So hopefully
I'm gonna go play right now.
Okay, I've been recording a podcast, but that sounds good.
The background. All right. Well, if you're interested in Helldivers, I think it's worth picking up. It is tough, but it's fun.
Round two. Fight.
All right, so back on to bigger news, kind of breaking news, I guess, because it did break it like an hour and a half ago. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, is dead. He died on March 1st. They already had their family services and whatnot, and he was taken by a hematoma under the skin, which is sad. It's too bad. I mean, he's very influential on anime and kind of
everything.
Cartoons is, I mean, everything, yeah. Kind of breaks off Shonen. From Dragon Ball altogether.
Listen, like video games, comic books, hip hop, everything, fighting games in general. Yeah, no, it's, RPGs, Chrono Trigger, Dragon Quest, Blue Dragon, like so many things. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's got a distinct art style, which is very much his thing. And unfortunately, he's passed away and gone right in the middle of working on another Dragon Ball show, another video game, at least two video games, his manga. I'm sure everything will continue as it is, but it is Dragon Ball is very much his flavor and spice of things. I don't think you would have things like Naruto or most of the stuff we have today without Dragon Ball. So yeah, it's too bad. And he wasn't 68, so he was up there, but he wasn't up there.
Right? He wasn't
could still be a U.S. president. He wasn't that old. So fortunately,
yeah. So rest in peace, Toriyama. That sucks. That does suck because he, like you said, he wasn't that old. 68's not like, it's not like he was in his late 80s or something like that, right? Like he just passed away of old age. I mean, we lost homeboy who wrote Berserk. Kentaro Miura. Yeah, him a few years ago too. So crazy. I think Oda already put a statement out about it too, a few other mangakas. So go check those out if you want to see what they have to say.
Yeah, it's too bad. And he seemed to be like a pretty decent person too. So, I mean, let's not talk about, Rurouni Kenshin or something, but
yeah, let's not like talk about Rurouni Kenshin or Attack on Titan or
any of those creators.
What's the other one? Yeah, those guys are something else, but Kira was pretty cool. Rest in peace.
I'm sure they'll still come out with the show and the games and the, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that stuff was already most of the way to the finish line, if not already done. A lot of it usually is planned out pretty far ahead. Like, I don't think he knew he was gonna die, but I'm sure that a lot of that stuff was already like deep, like already mapped out, right? At the very least.
Yeah, maybe he's yeah, probably. I'm guessing so. Well, that's too bad. That's the bad news for the day. But
part of the podcast, yeah.
And 3 times 1. What is it?
3.
Yeah, that's a magic number.
Talked last week about live service games. Biko said bad. I said maybe not so bad. Needed, yeah. WB CEO, I'm missing his name here. What's his name? JB Perret.
No, yeah, Perret? Yeah, different guy. Yeah, JB Perret. So okay, yeah, JB Perret. He had a press conference. Shavar, you go ahead. Yeah. I think you probably.
Well, I don't think it was. Was article. It? It was some kind of.
It wasn't a press. It was a statement.
He was speaking somewhere. Statement. And he said, quote, "We think the opportunity for us, again, is a multi-year opportunity because games is certainly a bit of a long cycle business, too. The opportunity to take those four franchises." And so if you don't know, WB in the past 8 years invested heavily in maybe 10 years, right? Invested heavily in acquiring a few franchises. So DC, Harry Potter, Mortal Kombat, and Game of Thrones. So take those four franchises and be able to develop a much more holistic approach, particularly around expanding into mobile and multi-platform free-to-play spaces, which could give us more, much better and consistent set of revenue. And you'll see us launching this year some mobile free-to-play games. And he also said they want more live service games. As I was saying last week, more companies are going to go this way because this is how you make consistent money with video.
And like I said last week, I understand that. I think this sucks. That is the rundown of my opinion on this. I think this is money hungry. I think this is where the industry was leading as it got more into, I mean, you know, when you start having multiple consoles, it's about competition, it's capitalism, it's about, you know, outselling your competitor. This is going to happen at some point. Games cost a lot of money these days. I just don't like it because now, you know, it's not about exploring new avenues with video games. It's exactly what he said. We see growth opportunity for our revenue in this area, so we're going to pursue that. And by doing that, you know, we're going to get stuff like this, like Suicide Squad, that they don't care if it's good or if it's a fun game or anything like that. If it's making money and people buy it, like are buying, you know, transactions and season passes over time, then that's more sustainable. So I think that sucks.
I don't think it sucks. I think people are looking at it like, instead of me getting my Batman game, I'm going to instead get my live service Batman game. I don't think that's necessarily what
he literally said. They're not focusing on AAA anymore. Like that's in the same quote. Like he said, we're not doing AAA at the moment. We want to focus on live service stuff. Like,
where
like
you say that.
I don't. Okay, he didn't literally say that, Shavar, but he called the AAA console release space volatile. And then he's like, when you have things like Hogwarts Legacy, it makes the year look amazing. Unfortunately, we also have disappointments. We just released Suicide Squads this quarter, which is not as strong. It just makes it very volatile. So what I take that quote to mean is that he's saying, okay, maybe we don't have a blockbuster game. Maybe we just make a smaller game that's not going to cost as much money because it's a big budget game, but it's a live service game that people want to come to, which leads to what he said, free to play games and other types of live service games, which will not be like for instance, the same day this happened, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, sure. Multiversus is, which if you guys don't remember Multiversus, it's the WB Smash ish game. It the Twitter account just woke up. So yes, this is their live. This is another one of their live service games. A game I actually enjoy. Like, oh, surprise, surprise, right? But they decided that they're gonna bring it back as a part of the same model, right? So that's what they're aiming for now. They're not aiming for Suicide Squads or Hogwartses anymore, like that, or probably not even Mortal Kombat, at least for the very near future, right? At least for the next year or two. Which good, right? Like, we don't need another Mortal Kombat in the next year or two. But yeah, it's that's what he said. He said, like, the AAA space is volatile. We don't need one and done games. We need a game that like sticks around for a while. Like, you know, free to play stuff like that.
Okay, I don't see. Okay, I get what. I don't think that volatile. I think he's saying it is volatile, which is what I was saying, and why you need those consistent things. I don't think he's saying it's volatile, so let's not make those anymore. I think he's saying it's volatile, so let's put in place the types of games that can counter that volatility.
Yeah, I didn't. That's not what I read into that at all. Like he just said it's volatile. That's not safe. And then he literally spends the rest of the speech talking about doing free to play things. And explaining on mobile and multi-platform free-to-play space. Like at no point does he say, we want to do that and then maybe release, like, one bit. Like, he didn't say that. He just said, we want to do live service stuff right now. We don't... Which, also, I think part of this quote also kind of reveals, I don't think he knew that Suicide Squad was a live service game. I don't think he knew that. I think he thinks that Suicide Squad was, like, a Hogwarts type of AAA release, which no, it's not. It's a like I don't even think he really knows what the fuck the games are. So, like, obviously, this is just more executive bullshit talk of we're gonna maximize our profits by not putting that many resources into AAA spaces, and we're gonna put more into free to play. I don't see any other way to read this. There's no point where he's like, but we're still gonna put out like a AAA game. He literally says towards the end, but how do we take stuff like Hogwarts Legacy and make it live service? Like, that's what he said. Like, he basically said Hogwarts Legacy was cool, but what if it was purple? No, like, that's basically saying, what he said.
I think he's saying we need to use these franchises they've put money to buy,
mm-hmm.
and use those to make lives. I don't think he's saying let's turn what we have as AAA games into live service. I think he's saying let's leverage what we have to make live service games.
Here's the quote from the little article we're both reading from. Rather than just launching a one and done console game, how do we develop a game around, for example, Hogwarts Legacy of Harry Potter that is a live service where people can live and work and build and play in the world on an ongoing basis? He said rather than. He didn't say on top of or alongside.
Okay, Shavar, but he's
trying to say they're going to focus on that for WB. That's the thing, too. Like, okay, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't want to get, semantic with it, but he said rather than just. And rather than only, that means rather than just putting out AAA single player games. To me, that means in addition to.
Okay. Yeah. And this is where the interpretation. This is how you know this is all jargon because we're arguing about his wording of it. I read it completely differently. I think he meant just why would we just do that? No, let me finish. Let me finish. I don't think he meant just launching let's do two things. I meant he said, well, we launch this as a one and done thing when we could launch it. That's how I interpreted that, right? I only read and write for a living. You know, I'm just saying, I don't think he's saying same thing at the same time. I think he's saying no more one and duns. That's cool because Suicide Squad failed. Which I don't think he knows that that's a live service game. He brought it up alongside Hogwarts Legacy a couple times. So I don't know what he thought that game was supposed to be.
No, I think he knows what kind of game it is. I mean, it's literally his job. I think he knows it was a failure.
Not literally his job. He's the president of, he's the CEO and president of streaming and games. You think he's that hands on?
I think he knows kind of games they're releasing. Yeah.
Okay.
You think he doesn't know what kind of game? You think he just sits in the office and is like, let me see what this Netflix is. What is this?
I personally think that this man does not actually play any video games.
I think he plays.
He's an executive. Stop. Okay, yeah. I don't think he plays video games. I don't think he actually cares about video games. I think he's another dirty executive that got a position that pays a lot of money that his friend got him or his years of being in the business got him. And they told him, okay, we have these brands. We have DC. We have Harry Potter. We have Mortal Kombat. And we're going to put these systems in them so that we can make more money off of them. And he's like, cool. That sounds good. So what are these games releasing? It's the real popular franchises, right? So Suicide Squad's a popular franchise. That has to be a triple A game, right? So,
that's a big assumption.
Knows. And guess what? That's what I do on my podcast. I make assumptions and I speculate. So
I didn't say it isn't wrong.
I just feel like sometimes you give these guys a lot of credit and I just really disagree on that. Like, I feel like we've seen time and time again, we've seen it with, all the Black series on HBO getting canceled within the past year or two because vaguely they said they don't want to really deal on that type of content anymore, even though the shows were literally getting rave reviews, not just Black shows, other independent shows that were bringing people to the platform. You have that happening there. You have that happening with Hulu. You have that happening with Disney. It's happening all over the place. It's not just video games. There's these dumbass executives. It is mostly WB, and it is mostly WB, but there's also all these other shitty executives all over the place in Hollywood and video games, all this stuff, in music, all this stuff, who they see the best ways to make money, and that's all they care about. And I think J.B. Perrette is exactly like that. J.B. Perrette's not like a Major Nelson or something, though, bro. He doesn't give a shit about video. He doesn't care. He's not even the guy over WB Games. They couldn't give a shit about games enough, right? They didn't give a fuck about games enough to actually give it its own department, right? So he's the CEO and president of streaming and games. Why the fuck are those things together? That's stupid. That's dumb. But sure, why not? Let's just shove streaming and games together. That shows you how seriously they take this and how seriously he probably takes it too.
Maybe. I can't go that far. I don't know the ins and outs of that. All I would say is,
then what's the point of talking about it?
I mean, you can talk about it. I'm just saying I don't agree with that. or I can't say I agree or disagree with that. I don't know that information.
I know you don't have opinions on executives. Continue. Yeah.
I didn't say that. But what I will say is
you two will be one day. Yeah, I know.
What I will say is I think that he at least knows Suicide Squad is a live service game. If he's going to make this whole speech and talk about what they're going for,
then why didn't he mention it alongside AAA releases? Is it a AAA release, or is it a triple A release, or is it the live service model that he's also praising? Because that's what I'm saying. This is a stupid speech because he says in the same breath. Like, that's the thing. I feel like this is why people are upset about this. In the same breath of saying we need to do less AAA games and more live service, he mentions their live service game that they've been promoting for a couple years, like 3 or 4 years now, that failed alongside a AAA game that did well.
I would consider both of those games AAA.
But Suicide Squad is AAA and live. It is a live service game.
I think the distinction here is live service and not live service. I don't think AAA is.
Yeah. Okay. Once again, if the distinction is live service or not live service, then he's not making the case for live service if the failure he brings up is a live service game. That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's true.
His speech doesn't make. That's what I'm saying. Yes. Thank you, Shirai. Thank you for acknowledging that actually makes sense. That doesn't make any fucking sense. He mentions failure of a live service game before saying that he wants more live service games. If you want to tell me that makes sense, go ahead. But it's stupid. Like,
I think it
makes sense in some fine. If we get five more Mortal Kombat mobile games, because we already got another one this year, and they're still updating the old one, and they got another WB mobile game over there, and then Multiverses on mobile already, and Multiverses is coming back. They don't like. They're just gonna have 3 or 4 of them, and then they're not gonna release any games the next couple years. They don't give a shit. Like, okay, they're gonna be like, "Whoa, we failed on Suicide Squad." Ooh.
If you're looking at his comments to saying, it's him saying, what's the best path forward for our company to make people happy, then yeah, it doesn't make sense to mention Suicide Squad as it was a failure. People didn't like it. Doesn't make sense to go for live service games as they're unpopular. But I don't think that's the point of what he was speaking about or trying to get across with what he was talking about. I think he was talking about the plan for making a volatile industry where you can put a lot of money into a game like Suicide Squad and then that game fail, or you can put a lot of money into a game like Harry Potter and that game succeed, and you don't really know which path you're going to get for a number of different things. So his solution to that, which I think is going to be a lot of these companies and publishers' solution, is to look for games that you can continuously make money on.
We already saw Ubisoft straight up told us they're not doing anything with any of their services, and they're going to focus on smaller projects to make money.
True. Like, yeah. And yeah. What's the so far? I mean, besides Final Fantasy just releasing, like, what's one of the biggest game releases this year? Helldivers. It's live service. It's selling more copies every week, which is ridiculous. Nothing does that. Everything sells the most at the beginning. It's selling more copies every week. Live service can work. If we want to talk about the quality and how we make these games, yeah, I think there's a lot of problems there, but I don't think there's a problem with going with this strategy or this trend, because eventually I think people will get tired of just multiplayer live service games like we did in like the late 2000s.
Yeah, listen, I don't like the trend. The trend sucks. This is just the same thing as it is a trend. It's already happening. Like,
games that come out are regular multiplayer, regular single player. They're not really live service stuff things.
Okay.
I mean, they might have live service elements, but they're not sold as the core. That's like
that's what I'm talking about. Live service elements with giving half chub fucking live service elements around a game that would have been perfectly fine otherwise.
But I think
that's the shit
it's
I
really
hate
easy
more so
to,
than a live service game.
When you look at stuff like Suicide Squad,
bro, Avengers
could have
been
easy.
So good, but they had me collecting cubes that didn't look like anything, and I had to look at Hulk's hands all the time, bro.
I don't know.
Come on,
Hulk's hands.
Come on,
sure. But I think it's really easy to look at those sore spots like Avengers and Suicide Squad, and then miss out
on a big sore spot. By the way, that's not just the those aren't small sore spots
on all the other places where it does work. I mean, if you look at
like Helldivers,
if you look at GTA. Mm-hmm. If you look at any of the sports games for the last 10 years, FIFA, NBA 2K, they've implemented these live service parts of the game that people are happy with. I think
I know that you're saying. I mean, you say that, but I literally see 2K fans say they hate how much money the game makes them spend every year on VC. But at the same time, they're buying it.
I'm not.
So
I'm
whatever.
VC is one part of it, but it's not just VC. I mean, people. Yeah, I guess VC is a large part of it. It's a huge part of it. But 2K is making hand over fist. People are still buying and enjoying the games, even though they don't want to pay for it. And if you want to play those games, you don't have to pay to play. I mean, you do have to pay to get those games, but you don't have to, there's other stuff outside of that. I think the reason NBA 2K works and FIFA works is when I buy FIFA, I never touch FIFA cards or any of that stuff. I'm playing seasons and coaches and against my friends and all that, and I don't deal anything with that. And same with NBA or whatever, and you don't have to. There's just, for that audience, it is there. So, and I think you can work with those kind of things.
You can work with it. It's just we're going to see a lot of garbage along the way. Listen, it's like microtransactions and paid DLC, right? We get a lot of cool stuff out of both of those things. And then microtransactions, we got mostly shit with that. But paid DLC has come with some swindling garbage or very scammy garbage.
Well, okay. Can I be honest?
But what?
Microtransactions in DC are exactly the same thing, except somebody said, let's stop calling transactions, because that doesn't sound good. Okay?
I think there's a difference between Elder Scrolls Little Horse
that you had to buy for $10
or something. That's DLC. That's DLC.
It was called a microtransaction back then.
Okay, I know, but Shavar, colloquially, we all know what the actual difference is. I'm not talking about definition word for word. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about currency that you have to buy, like dragon crystals. I'm talking about things that make the game go faster, things that make your player actually work in 2K. That's what I'm talking about when I say microtransactions, things that make the game play how it's supposed to, instead of, you know, it not having the microtransactions and playing correctly. So a DLC, on the other hand, is additional levels, new stuff that, you know, the base game is fine by itself. Base game's great, but this is additional stuff. These are costumes,
actual content,
outfits
in the game.
Actual
content.
You
don't have to explain
the
whole.
Okay, thank you. Then don't do that. Don't do that thing where you. Anyway,
don't do
it. Just like those two things. I think that this live service thing is gonna lead to some great stuff. Like we are getting some good games right now. You know, people are very.
Oh, by the way. You can go get. Oh, hold on. Before, by the way, if you do want NBA 2K24, you can get the Ballers Edition, which is the $75, $80 edition right now for $20 if you have a PlayStation Plus account.
Thank you. That had nothing to do with what I was talking about.
Just saying. It reminded me.
Yeah. So live service stuff. Listen, we got some cool games out of it. Destiny, obviously, is a hit. It's probably going to be considered one of the best games of all time. Goes for Fortnite. Same goes for GTA.
The one on PlayStation. What? The free one.
Damn,
that was on. It's a live service game. Warframe. That one's big.
Yeah, Warframe. And any of those, right? Like, yeah, we've gotten some stuff that people really like that did scratch that itch, right? Like, they're good games. They do it. What I don't want anymore is UWB bastards messing with my Mortal Kombat again, to where now I gotta buy dragon crystals to buy stupid little MK3 costumes because you guys are charging me out the butthole for them unless I earn them in game, which takes forever because leveling up a character, you guys keep messing with the XP levels all the time. This is a WB game, by the way. That's the type of shit I don't like. That's what I don't like, especially when before Mortal Kombat, the DLC was simple. You bought the DLC and then it got released over time. They're not doing that this time. They said it's random. You don't know what costume's going to come up, but you better be ready to pay at least $7 or $8 to get the coins, to get all the ones you want. Listen, that's the shit I don't like. That's not live service. That's you pulling my fucking chain, right? This isn't the same thing as MK11, where it was just rotating towers, like different things going on. This is fuckery. This is like them being like, we can screw with you now because this is Mortal Kombat. So I don't like it. Invasions mode has officially gotten stale for me. It's way too, there's no variety. It's just fights over and over, which I could do in tower. I only do it for the costumes and then I get the hell out. I'm not spending any money on this game. That's the type of shit I don't like. Y'all really like took one of my favorite games with an excellent fighting system and strangled it with a bunch of fucking transactions. And this doesn't matter because, you know, the community is already eating the game alive itself. But I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I mean, when are we going to get a Tekken Force again? Every game should just have a Tekken Force.
You must not have played Tekken 8.
But every game needs a Tekken Force.
Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Think about it. If Mortal Kombat had a Tekken Force, oh boy.
I think they tried that. It was called Sub-Zero Mythologies.
In the game. If every game, every fighting game had to pick your character, go through.
We ain't this doing the hey
thing.
Like you just told me, we're out of that era, brother. Listen, Mortal Kombat games back in the day, you buy it, they give you a kart racer, they give you chess, they gave you 16 other fucking mini games. Nah, we ain't getting. No, you're never getting that again. You will
That'd
never
be rad
get another
to get a
side
kart
mode
racer.
That's good to play again. No, you know you're not getting it
kart
again.
Racer
and if you do get it. We're gonna charge you for it, at the very least. Like Tekken, what did Tekken do? They charge for frame data. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. They charge for frame data.
They charge for bowling.
But this, I don't want to stay on this too long. But this is also why I kind of say, I don't know.
The frame data is a microtransaction. I call that the frame data thing was bullshit. Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho! I've got 5 good reasons for you to shut up! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
Xbox still exists, and, they released kind of their State of Play. What's it called? It's
not State of Play. It's Xbox Partner Preview, which definitely does not roll off the tongue. I always forget what these are called. Yeah, they showed 14 games this past week, and I'm not trying to be rude because some of these do look interesting, but I would not blame anybody for not remembering 10 of them. So yeah, there's a lot announced here. You want to get into it?
Sure. I mean, so it's a partner preview. So these are games and studios that Xbox is partnering with, and we got a few new games. So I guess the one most talked about, or at least shown, that we kind of knew about a little bit before was Unknown 9 Awakening. By the way, every name for every game in this partner preview is pretty horrible. I don't know if they're going to change the name of this game, but it's bad.
Unknown 9 game looks like visually. I'm not talking visually. This looks like a PS3 era game. Like the gameplay. This is crazy. They really putting this out? That's nuts, bro.
I'm fine with that. Just like the Korean game, it looks like a PS3 type of game. I'm fine with that. I like having different kinds of games. All right, not everything needs to be Last of Us and Call of Duty and.
I'm not talking about Shavar when I say this because he actually played them, so I know he actually likes them. But I'm tired of y'all saying this that I want games like PS2 games or PS3 games, because most of y'all are lying, because the reason we don't have those anymore is because some of y'all didn't buy them. So, or you weren't even alive yet. So, so chill. But no, Unknown 9 doesn't look bad. It looks like a good game, a fun game, but it just very much reminded me of like a 360 era game. Like I said, not visuals, but like gameplay wise. I'm like, yeah, this looks kind of like that. Sleight of Hand.
Visuals weren't great either. Next was Sleight of Hand by Riff Raff Games. Third person stealth game. Cool. I guess.
Stealth focused noir deck builder. Oh, directly inspired by Metal Gear Solid. Okay, so I didn't know this. That actually sounds like Metal Gear Acid, like a spiritual successor. That sounds pretty cool, actually. I did not realize that because the trailer
tells
you
there was no gameplay.
Fucking
in the
nothing. Yeah, there's no gameplay in the trailer, so how the hell we know that? So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I think anything that involves Metal Gear Solid and cards, even though there's only two of those things, Metal Gear Acid 1 and 2, I think those things are good. So hopefully this is a decent game. We'll see. It'd be nice if they showed us gameplay.
So we get the Alters, spelled A-L-T-E-R-S. It's about clones. Know that. That's all you need to know. It's about clones. It's
Death Stranding, right? Yeah.
It kind of looks like Death Stranding. It's a sci-fi adventure. A miner must survive a hostile planet by creating multiple versions of himself. There you go. This one did look more interesting than some of the other stuff. I don't really know what the game is, but it looked more interesting. By 11-Bit Studios. I'm not really sure what else they've made. It's coming to Game Pass, of course. So if you got Game Pass, you get Alters for the free.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's cool. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
We get another 11-Bit Studios, Creatures of Ava. It's a cartoony, kind of Zelda-looking type of game. It's an empathy-driven action-adventure game. That sounds painful to me, because when I play action-adventure games, I smash faces in, and I don't want to be too empathetic to that, okay? But yeah, that's what it is. It looks kind of like a PAL world, but without the guns. So,
I don't know. Here's the thing: I always make fun of like the indie showcases, right? Even though I play in like a lot of these games, I think it's cool. These are brand new ideas. This game looks pretty fun. I think it's something that I wouldn't reach out for, but if I could play it, I'd probably end up enjoying it. It's one of those looking things, honestly, because I like stuff like Slime Rancher and stuff like that, right? Like, yeah, no, it looks fun. I wouldn't, like I said, I'm not like reaching out for it. Like, I'm going to play this like as soon as it comes
Bug
out or
snacks.
Something. Yeah, Bug like snacks. Bug Snacks. Yeah, I fucked with Bug Snacks.
It's I don't a good even know game. What that game is still, man.
Oh man, it's like Pokemon Snap, but with food animals. It's good. But no, like this inside a hand, I can kind of get with. I'm like, yeah, that looks good. Even the Alters, I don't entirely understand what it is, but I like that though. I like kind of not knowing exactly what it is, but not like inside a hand where you don't show me gameplay. Like, show me the gameplay and I'll try to figure it out at least.
True. I'm sure it's going to be a card game, so yeah, it'll be Metal Gear Acid. Then Roblox showed off that they're going to have a Griefville, which seems like a more horror-themed part of Roblox, and they're going to do a crossover with Chucky, the good guy, Chucky.
Are they trying to scare the shit out of the kids? Is that what they're trying to do?
I don't know, because Roblox is so big now that I think we're at the point where a lot of Roblox players are actually teens now. And what Roblox is something that's just beyond my generation of enjoyment. But I get it. I get, you know, it's like this very creative and open thing. And I guess they're getting a little more mature because now Chucky can kill you in the game. So if you're a Roblox
That's crazy.
Player, ready to Roblox it up, man. Then you've got Sinking City 2. I'll tell you what, didn't know there was Sinking City 1 by Frogwares. It's a survival horror game in a twisted version of 1920s Arkham.
Yeah, this game had a kind of a cult like following when it was initially released. Had a weird development cycle. I'm pretty sure there's like a What Happened video about it. But yeah, it's kind of like a niche-ish, not even niche, but like, you know, I get why it was in this presentation. Let me put it that way. But no, it looked cool. It does look like an improvement over the first game. As far as like, you know, the visuals, hopefully this is what the game actually looks like. Cause once again, it's another trailer with no gameplay. So shout out to them.
All right. And we've also got Stalker, remake, the whole trilogy, all remastered in one bundle. If you haven't played Stalker, you're chance to do so. I wasn't a big Stalker fan, but it was a pretty big game back then, speaking of like old school type of thing. So if you want to play Stalker, it's coming. I think that'll be available on game. No, you can buy each game individually for $20, or you can get the whole collection for $40.
Hopefully y'all know how to do math.
Yeah, just get the whole collection if you're gonna get any of them. I'm not a big Stalker fan, but hey, it's an acronym for something. What's the acronym for?
I've never known. I always thought it was funny because I'm like, that's a really long acronym. I don't know if any of y'all actually remember it. No, I've never played Stalker, but I know that people have been wanting a new one. I've seen people talk about it. So, you know, I hope that this collection leads to something for them.
Yep. Then you've got another indie game here. Monster Jam, which I thought, oh, Space Jam monsters? No, it's a monster truck game. You race, you do monster truck events and shows. It's a cute little racer coming out this year at some point. By the way, Stalker's available now. I guess I'd play it. I don't know, maybe I'd play it. I like racing games.
I'd play it. Yeah, I'm a sucker for racing games. That's what I was gonna say. I'll play most racing games. I think I've played most racing games that have come out recently. So yeah, we'll see if that comes to Game Pass. I'll probably hop on it. But this next one is Persona 3 Reload. So I'm gonna explain this for the people who might have been confused, because this was a confusing announcement for people who weren't aware. So Persona 3 Reload already has an expansion pass. This is not an announcement for the expansion pass. It's already out. The first thing from the expansion pass, it was already released. What they were really advertising in this is The Answer, which is the final DLC in this, you know, expansion pass in quotation marks. Is that really a expansion pass? It's a wave one is background music. Wave two is costumes, I think. And then wave three is this, which is the actual gameplay, right? So The Answer, for people who don't know, is from the formerly definitive version of Persona 3, Persona 3 FES, which I'm going to try not to spoil it. But the point is that it adds post game to the end. It adds post game. There's another story after the end of the original ending of Persona 3. We've known that they already had this in the tuck for at least a year now, because a lot of stuff leaked last year. But they even had the creator like lie and be like, we saw the fan response, so we decided we're gonna do it. And he said, we started working on it as soon as we saw fans say that they wanted it last year. And it was like, no, we saw the files already. People didn't say they wanted it, you were working on it. So something that should have been in this remake, right? This remake is supposed to be like the definitive final version of the game. Like everything is in it. They've decided to add what is considered like a canon ending back to the game, I guess. And you have to buy the whole expansion pass to get it. I don't think you can buy it individually, if I'm not mistaken. So it kind of sucks. Especially because they were telling us over and over, no, like, we're not going to do The Answer. We're not going to do other stuff. What they really meant was, shut up, we're going to make it DLC. So they're probably also going to add the female main character out at some point, which is from the mobile version of Persona 3. And yeah, they're just raking more cash. So shout out Alice for saying you're remaking a game and not fully remaking it so you can sell part of it less than a year later.
Well, I think it's just kind of weird that it's too expensive. $35 for some background music and expansion, which should have just been included because it already exists. It's not new. But hey.
Yep. Yep.
Final Fantasy 14 coming to Xbox. Congratulations. You get to play one of the most popular MMOs now. It's, I guess it is available now in beta, but it's actually coming out at the end of this month, March 21st. Good for you, March 21st. Guys. Ready to waste your eyes.
The day before Dragon's Dogma, by the way.
Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, coming out this year. It looks like an action adventure game. You get a lot of powers.
Oh yeah, I actually saw this one. This looks good.
It looks okay.
Oh, this looks like a fun game. Yeah, this looks like something I'd play. You know, beat in like 6 hours and then be satisfied. This looks fun. I like because it looks like it was. I thought it was only 2D, but it looks like it's like a third person action game. But it looks really sick.
Well, I don't know if you. So it's kind of like go out, do missions, and save people, and bring them back, and then do like a tower defense thing.
So I'm playing that if I remember it based on the name.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know if I'll remember because the name, which isn't horrible, Kunitsugami, but they should have just. We don't need subtitles. Path of the Goddess. You should call one or the other.
You know? Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm tired of these games having subtitles when they're not established. Like, I'm sorry, Wolong. That shit just can call Wolong. I don't know what they were doing with the subtitles and stuff. Just
What's
call
the
it
subtitle
one thing.
Of Wolong.
I don't know. I just know it has one. Fallen Destiny. Fallen Dynasty.
Dynasty.
Yeah, I didn't. I had to Google it. That's what I'm saying. So. Also, another game on this list that I think just missed the boat because the game Prince of Persia just came out. Tales of Kinzera, Zao, which, what the fuck? Huh? Like, just call it Zao or call it Tales of Kinzera if you're going to do that. Like, what? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because if you're going to do a second one about another person, then you're going to have the cult. Anyway.
Well, that's kind of the whole thing is...
Yeah, are they the guys? Did these guys make Ori and stuff like that, or they didn't make the same those games, right?
I don't know. It looks like that game though. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like Ori. It looks like the new Prince of Persia, kind of. Looks good.
We also got the first Berserker, which is a Dungeon and Fighters, another Dungeon and Fighters game. They're banding outside of Dungeon and Fighters, and it stars the first Berserker. It is kind of literally. I would imagine it's more like a little more DMC, but it looks like a lot of one-on-one fighting. So who knows?
Oh, man, I like the one-on-one fighting. There's too many games like that now. Like I probably would even enjoy this game, but like I kind of get mad sometimes when I turn on a game and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then it's like, welcome to Dark Souls again. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, hell yeah. And sometimes I'm like, oh, all right, well, can I be Dante again? Can I like, you know, hit like at least two dudes with my sword once? Like, I don't know.
Well, that was Xbox's partner presentation. I don't know. It's fine. I just don't feel a lot of excitement out of these games and partnerships or whatever. I don't know. Maybe there needs to be a better way to represent them or promote them or whatever it may be. But these don't all look bad or anything. Xbox does have games, and we're going to see them soon. So.
Yeah. And like, here's the thing, too. What kind of sucks about these presentations is a lot of these games are, you know, They're not exclusive. Like, a lot of these games aren't, like, for instance, like Sinking City. Sinking City is not exclusive. Persona 3 Reload is not exclusive. Most of the games in this are not exclusive. So that's where I get kind of confused.
But they don't need to be exclusive. Because I'm like, okay. But it's tied to your name, you know.
Yeah, that's weird. How is Atlas tied to Xbox's name?
Well, because they showed it. There you go. I mean, it's worth a lot to show the game next.
That's nuts. That's crazy. That's crazy. I get it. I get that I'm sorry. They revealed that Persona 3 is going to be that Persona 3 is on Xbox like last year. It's yeah, we know.
No, 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 not six. I said seven. Nobody's coming up with six. Who works out in 6 minutes? You won't even get your heart going, not even a mouse right on a wheel.
I guess like cool to some people. Capcom is increasing their starting salary by in Japan only.
Out of Japan. Yeah, that's kind of why I added it. I thought that was funny.
And people are celebrating how wonderful. Look, Capcom's been doing pretty well. So much that they're Cap God again. Everyone loves the Resident Evils. Everyone loves the Street Fighters. Everyone loves the Dragon's Dogma. Everyone, okay, I got it. It's great. Look, right? They already pay pennies. They're making pennies, and now they're going to get paid like a few more pennies. They're not making. I mean, look, the price of living in Japan is lower than like in America. Okay, mostly manufactured, but mostly because the general person probably doesn't do that much stuff anyway. You're spending your money drinking or like sitting at a cafe or something. So I guess you don't.
Sounds like America to me.
Rent is pretty low compared to the rest of the world. Hey, guess what? Now they're going to make a whopping $25,000 a year. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Great, great job, guys. Great bonus. New hires here.
I thought it was a good contrast to us watching people literally lose their jobs. But at the same time, like you said, these guys don't get paid very much at all.
Also, the yen is trash right
pay
now. So.
And they need better pay. Considering the fact, like you said, Capcom is seeing way better years than they were, I would say, 6-7 years ago. When was all that Mighty Number 9 shit happening and all that? Yeah, they're doing way, 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 way better. Back when Street Fighter 5 was coming out, they weren't doing very well. So that's what I kind of got out of this. Capcom's doing well. Dragon's Dogma comes out in a couple weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Monster Hunter's been still their best-selling game. And Resident Evil's been, doing its thing. And that's where I kind of laugh at WB, right? Listen, I get it. What makes Resident Evil work to me as far as the remake is that they're literally rebuilding the game from top to bottom. And the thing is that it's still a risk, unlike live service games, because there are Resident Evil purists who really fucking hate the remakes. There are people who despise them. They think that they suck. But
true, but they
the
do
bigger
buy them.
Upswing to that is that more people like them and that they're a new, fresh experience. So it was a risk bigger than other risk other companies
okay,
are
can I,
pretending
I
to.
Be honest.
Sorry. It was a risk they took. That wasn't even that risky that WB
it's not
would never
very
do
risky.
Because they don't take risk. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
remake
not risky.
Remake beloved games to look
okay,
really
but
cool.
Also, it's not the okay, but it's no. It's not just make them look really cool because that's unfair because they play completely fucking different. They're not the same games. They're not.
Yeah, sure. I didn't say
the Resident Evil, even the Resident Evil 1. No, they're not remasters. Even the Resident Evil 1. Remake from back on the GameCube is not the same game as the original game. It's a different game. Resident Evil 2 remake, completely different game from the original Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 3 remake, same thing. 4, same thing. It's like by the numbers, but it's like it plays completely different. This is not the same thing to me as if they just said, here you bastards go, here's a Resident Evil collection, here's all the games collected together, and we'll re-release it every few years, right? Like they did with 4, 5, and 6,
but
5 years ago. I didn't say you said that. But okay, continue.
That's
whatever.
What you're
say
arguing
what you
with.
Want, say, say what you want to say. No, that's not what I was arguing with because you didn't let me finish talking. So say
no,
what
I
you
was letting
say.
You finish. I was just saying.
Go
it's
ahead.
Not the biggest.
Go
risk.
Ahead. Go ahead.
I said
go
it. Ahead. I said it. I don't think it's the biggest risk. Like a very big risk to remake
beloved. And that's game. What I'm saying. Yeah, and I fucking said that already. Did I not already say that? I'm saying it's not even that big of a risk. It's still something that came up with something that was a different experience. It's innovative. It's fun. And it's not actually, we're going to play pussy and have live service games because you know those are safe and those will generate us money. That's not the type of shit we need in the gaming industry. Because
I don't think
I'm sorry. If oh my God. What?
I don't think that's necessarily fair. Capcom has this. Why? Like, they have games to remake. What does WB have to remake?
Shaolin fucking monks, maybe? Something cool people would actually like. That's not just another fucking Mortal Kombat game. They have Harry Potter, which took forever to make a game around Harry Potter. I don't know why they took like 15 years or 18 years as the last one. Like, no, okay, so don't sit here and make points for WB. They have plenty of shit to remake. They own entire series, Shavar. How much shit does WB own? They own so much. So my point I made before you were interrupting me, if I'm praising Capcom for remaking things, there's something wrong. That was my end goal, Shavar, is that I'm not just sitting here sucking Capcom's dick. I'm saying if I'm complimenting them for remaking games, something has gone terribly wrong. That was the end point of what I was going to say. So go ahead and talk. Go ahead and say whatever you wanted to say.
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying if you're going to contrast the two methods, I don't think it's fair with WB because they don't have anything. And if you say the MK1.
Did you just say WB doesn't have anything?
They don't have a classic games catalog to say, like, we're going to remake that. I don't even think things
they
like...
They literally own Mortal Kombat. They even tried to remake it a few years ago. Then they canned it. Like, what are you talking about? They have Game of Thrones, dude.
Yeah, but they don't have Game of Thrones game to remake.
All right, let's see. What franchises does WB fucking own?
Harry Potter, everything DC, Mortal Kombat, Game of Thrones.
They could have remade all those stupid fucking Harry Potter games that people have been asking for years.
Okay. Instead, okay, listen, hold on. Just because they own Harry Potter does not mean they own those old Midway games and all that stuff. I don't think you can just, they have the right to just remake all, that's not that straightforward, okay? Two, remaking Mortal Kombat 2 is not like a thing you would do when you have a Mortal Kombat 11 or more. You just make another Mortal Kombat, you get what I'm saying? Like, sure, they could have put out a remaster or something like that, and they did dump it for whatever reason. I'm just saying, and fine, you don't agree with the live service thing. I just don't think it's necessarily fair to contrast those two when WB is kind of just getting into games.
All I'm saying is they do have a series to remake. Capcom is literally only remaking one of those series. It's Resident Evil. Remake the old Mortal Kombat. Once again, like I said, no, what? Why?
Yeah,
Capcom's remaking Resident Evil. That's it.
That's
the only other
game
they're remaking.
Street Fighter?
No, that's not a remake. It's a sequel. What the fuck are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying WB has nothing to remake. You keep saying remake Mortal Kombat. It's a fighting game. Why doesn't Capcom remake their fight? They don't. They might
re-release
them or put them in a collection, but they don't remake them.
That's what I'm saying. WB won't even do that. Okay, they won't even release them in a collection because it doesn't behoove them to do so. So, listen, they own the Fear series. They own all of those Lego series. Like, every single fucking one. They own the Lord of the Rings games, which people have been bringing up recently. They own Lollipop fucking Chainsaw, which they keep teasing us with, and it probably got canned because it's not live service. Because it did get announced. I don't know if anybody else remembers this. Lollipop Chainsaw 2
got
announced.
It might still be
and
coming.
It's in the W, that motherfucker is in the WB minds. We are never seeing that game because it's not live service and it's not a big franchise like Mr. Perrette said, right? So here's the thing. They have plenty of shit, Shavar. You can go through their Wikipedia and look at all the shit they have. They have a lot of shit. They have a lot of stuff they own. So no, I'm not going to give them the excuse of, well, they don't have the back catalog to remake, blah, blah, blah. Then why buy all these series? You're not going to do anything with them.
They are doing things. They just released Hogwarts. They just released some more. They're doing things. The guy's just talking about a strategy moving forward, which we haven't even seen.
Do something that's not tacked on live service bullshit to establish a series. That's the type of thing. Don't ruin Mortal Kombat. That's what I would like them to do.
Alrighty. Well, that looks like it's all we've got for the show today. Thanks for listening and tuning in. We'll see you next week for 131, the Super Chevy Brothers podcast. See you next time.